5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass, as always. Oh, man, a lot happened since the last time we talked. Where do we start? Let's start with this. Jim Harbaugh is staying in Michigan. So, you know, Angel, yesterday to end the show, I told you I had my reservations about him. Well, I guess we don't have to worry about that anymore. He's now off the list. So will the Broncos go full court press on Sean Payton, giving up a first rounder, giving up a second rounder, maybe a third and a fourth rounder, all for a guy that quit on his team when they were in a tough situation, kind of like Sean McVay's Rams, and also a part of Bounty Gate, all of that. I'm just, Angel, the more I think about this, I'm just kind of floored by this. Everybody has Sean Payton listed as the savior of the Broncos, the guy that's going to come in and fix all of this. Well, the track record shows that, sure, with Drew Brees, pretty good, got a Super Bowl, they're a playoff team. But let's not forget, as you brought up yesterday, the year without Brees, they weren't great. And then he kind of looked at the writing on the wall and thought, yikes, this is going to get ugly. And he left. So that's the guy you're willing to go all in on. More draft picks. So you continue to mortgage your future. You've already mortgaged some of it by trading them for Russell Wilson. And you want to just keep going down this road. So Harbaugh's out. Probably a good thing. How can you not think today, wake up today and see 31-14 Dallas, Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay ran for 52 yards. Tom Brady, who's 89 years old, had to throw 66 times in a playoff game. How can you not think that Dan Quinn should be the guy? His defense, the Buccaneers had no answer. Dude, it was 31-14, but those last two touchdowns didn't really feel like much, did they? I mean, the Bucs scored 6 points in the third. They went for two. They didn't miss extra points. They went for two, didn't get it. And then they get a last-ditch effort touchdown late that didn't, you know, whatever, didn't make much sense. There was an injury on the field. We'll talk about that right before that touchdown, a few plays before that. And it was basically 31-6. You can count the touchdown, sure, but Dan Quinn's the guy. Angel, I'm feel better about it than I ever have before. Dan Quinn is the guy. I'll tell you, with news out of Chargers camp, they just fired their offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi. Is that the guy that's going to take the fall? You don't make that move unless I'm hearing it, unless you have something that just broke. Sounds like Staley's still there. You don't start firing do you start firing coordinators first and then your coach, or do you fire the coach and then your next hire gets to figure out who's going to be a part of it? Dude, Chargers staying with Staley.
Definitely looks that way. It looks like they're putting the blame for the offensive struggles the other night on the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. So young up-and-coming assistant out there looks to want to work with a young quarterback and a fairly talented offense. There you go.
So I think the Chargers stay in the course, which really means, at least for head coach, which really means that it's coming down to Houston, Denver, Arizona. Carolina is in the mix, too. I just, for some reason, I don't think that's as appealing to Sean Payton.
It would be tough to sell to a divisional opponent.
Right, and I think that the price is going to be a lot more. If you're going to try, if you want my a coach that knows all of our secrets in the same division, you're going to have to pay me a little bit more. Plus, if I'm Sean Payton, Carolina's not as appealing as any of the other three jobs. Now, that Carolina did overachieve once they fired Matt Rhule, but that's just not... Houston's appealing because you have the pick. You could get Bryce Young. It could be Sean Payton and Bryce Young. Denver's appealing because Russell Wilson, 90% of his career, very good. This last 10% with Denver, rough. Still kind of appealing, especially the fact that you had a good defensive year. How much of that is Ejiro Evero, and how much of that would he, you know, how much of that means he would stay on with the Broncos if Sean Payton's here? You got a new owner that has a lot of money. That's kind of appealing, I guess. And then Arizona's appealing because it's Arizona, for one. Nice and warm. You're living in Los Angeles. The weather's going to be warmer, but you don't have to worry about the snow. Plus, you have a young quarterback. Is he moldable? Is Kyler Murray moldable? And so I think all of those things, you start really looking at it. What makes the most sense for Sean Payton? And everything that I heard yesterday and read yesterday, the Arizona Cardinals hired Monty Ossenfort as the new general manager. I have heard that Sean Payton and Monty Ossenfort are kind of cool with each other. So that move might have been a move to get Sean Payton.
It seems like with Payton, the option with Denver, if he comes here, he won't be known for, oh, you came back in coaching and you had a great, second half of your coaching career. It's going to be, are you the guy that fixed Russell Wilson?
And if you're not, that's your legacy.
Exactly.
Your legacy is, oh, you bailed on the Saints. You're known for Bountygate. You got a Super Bowl. You were in the playoffs quite a bit. But when you came for a really hard job here in Denver, you couldn't do it. Or you could do it. Maybe he can't. Listen, I don't think Sean Payton is a bad head coach. To do what he did for as long as he did, to get to the playoffs as many times as he did, that means you're a good head coach. The price adds a lot to this. I'm willing to take a little more chances if it's just Sean Payton can go wherever. Dude, he might just sit out. I'm kind of leaning toward maybe he just keeps his suit, stays on Fox, waits it out another year.
If you're the Broncos and you're going all in on Sean Payton, do you put out an offer first?
Yeah, they're interviewing him. Are they interviewing him at the end? Is it today?
They start today.
So they're interviewing Sean Payton today? Now everybody says, you can't let him out of that room. Well, without signing a contract, you have to have the Saints.
It's not up to him.
It's not up to him.
He can't walk out of the room yes or no.
Why do people keep forgetting this? Like, it's something,
Because it's Madden, Brady.
It's Madden out there.
It's plug and play, players, coaches,
run
whoever.
Verticals every play. See what happens. Somebody's going to be open. If not, I'll go for it on fourth down. If not, whatever. We'll get an interception. This is ridiculous that it's just this mindset of, if Sean Payton's in the room with you, you do not let him out. You have that contract. You have that money. You could offer him $25 million a year. The Saints would still have to get on the phone and then go through the trade. You still have to, which everything we've heard last week and now this week even more so, it's not going to be just a first-round pick.
And I don't think the Saints are going to sit on just one offer.
No!
They're going to see all of their options.
What's more appealing? Denver's late 20th, 28th, 29th, 32nd pick from the Niners/Dolphins? Or Houston, I have two first-round picks. Number 12 is expendable. I will trade. What's more appealing if you're the Saints? Number 12. And then a third or fourth round from Houston. They still have their best overall, their shot, their second overall pick. Because that's too rich. And the Saints surely would know that. So it's all going to come down to that. Arizona has some better draft pick as well to trade. Now, I don't think that's going to be as appealing either, but
you don't have to get a quarterback there.
No. And so that's why with this thing, it's changed a lot, especially with the Chargers situation, that job doesn't seem like it's there. So it does seem like the Broncos' number one candidate is Sean Payton. That's everything I'm hearing is that he's the guy they want the most, but I don't know if that's true. That's just what I'm hearing. I've not heard that from the Broncos organization. We'll talk to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos a little bit later on today. Actually, at 11:30, and we'll get his thoughts because things have changed a little bit since then. And is David Shaw a realistic possibility? And now with the Cowboys, you just destroyed Tampa Bay. You might have put Tom Brady into a retirement home, and now you got a decent shot here. Mike McCarthy got you past the first round, even though they missed how many extra points?
Four.
I couldn't believe it, dude. That was, and I thought for sure that was going to be the Buccaneers opening.
That was going to be
the thing that we talked about was they missed extra points and it was going to be like 29-18. But even as bad as the Bucs played, and maybe they are, and as good as the Cowboys played, they overcame four missed extra points. Absolutely nuts. First kicker in playoff history to ever do that. That sucks for him. I mean, Jerry Jones is tweeting during the game. Anybody in the stands know how to kick? Come on down. That is when you know it's bad. Brett Maher. 1 for 5. Have you ever seen that before? Extra points? 1 for 5.
I've seen it at Alabama because we've had a string of bad field goal kickers for a while, and I've seen plenty of missed field goals. At the pro level, I don't get it. You don't do anything all day at practice.
No.
But look at those uprights and just kick it into them.
How do you miss four?
Whatever,
I can see missing
whatever
one.
Crowd noise, no. You have one job is to swing your leg and kick a ball.
I can see missing one. Two's like, oh, yikes.
And that's like, oh, you got a bad placement or the laces
or
were
just,
turned the wrong
way.
Or just, blame it on the holder.
Something
blame
weird
it on the
happened. Does the second miss, you're like, uh-oh, that's pretty bad, dude. That could cost him. The third one, you're like, holy crap, get this kicker out of here. The fourth one, why is he in the league? They still win 31-14. They didn't need the extra points.
Should have been a kicker.
Should have been a kicker. That's all you have to do. Just work on that leg, jack up that quad and calves, get that leg really just molded. And
you
were
like an ambidextrous kicker. Have you ever seen those?
No, but wouldn't that be amazing?
It'd be a fun little strategy thing to do.
You
could like fake a kick and then toss it out and then just set it up again and kick it.
Well, I will say, who kicked off? Was it Jake Camarda who kicked off for Tampa Bay? The onside was pretty slick. That was a really well done onside kick. And Tom Brady almost made it 21. He had Mike Evans. Should Evans have caught that? Right? Evans should have caught that. He's done that a couple times this year. What a terrible. Is that it for Brady?
In Tampa, yes.
Done in Tampa. Will he be a member of the Las Vegas Raiders next? Or the San Francisco 49ers?
Hearing Patriots, too.
Patriots, who knows? Go back and finish your career in New England. Find somewhere that's comforting to you after everything you've gone through, this tumultuous year that you went through. Go back home. It'd be a story. That'd be the best story for him. Go back to New England. Oh, they'd go nuts. Who would you take today for 1 year, Tom Brady or Mac Jones? Because it's not like Tom Brady's
the best
quarterback.
No, Tom is not. From what I saw last night, Tom is, I don't know if he can play at that high a level anymore. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to make big throws. But we saw last night, if you get him flustered, he's going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And he was just off on a lot of throws.
Yeah, he really was. It was not a good look for him. Through the red zone interception, that was when it was like, that was an interesting spot. They could have gone up 7-6 at that stage. And maybe things change. Said he throws a red zone pick. He hadn't thrown a red zone pick since 2019 with the Patriots. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good is Dan Quinn. Listen, Dak Prescott was great yesterday, was sensational with 4 touchdowns. They ran the ball well, 128 yards. Their stars were, and I do mean stars, they were stepping up. But this defense, you shut out the Bucs at home in the first half in a playoff game on a Monday night game, kind of a weird setting. Yeah, Dan Quinn's the real deal. I don't know how good of a head coach he'll be again, but at least he's coordinating in the league as we speak. Sean Payton's talking about it. Dan Quinn, that's my good. The bad, the way Tom Brady went out in Tampa Bay. Like you said, it's probably 98% sure or percent chance that he's going to get out of Tampa Bay. Well, that's a tough way to end it, to get smoked like that 31-14.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you everybody for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys, so thank you very much.
Sounds kind of like the end. You start thinking reporters and stuff. That's when you start wondering, okay, this guy's done. The ugly, and this was a tough one. You know, you saw at the end of this game with about 3 minutes left, player goes down. Russell Gage was taken off the field by a stretcher late in the fourth quarter of the team's 31-14 wildcard playoff loss to the Cowboys. And he was out there for a while. That was a tough hit. Safety Donovan Wilson looked like he kind of wrenched up his neck at the end of that hit. The team was out there for a while, and I there was a part of me wondering, Angel, game's out of reach. Do you just call it? But it wasn't the same as we talked about. It wasn't the same. DeMar Hamlin's situation was just so much different. But you know, everybody watching that game last night, they were thinking of that, wondering how severe he was. And they didn't bring out the ambulance, so you knew, okay, it's going to be a tough injury, but it's not DeMar Hamlin status at this stage.
How many more do we have to see before the NFL does something?
What are they going to do, though? I mean, what are you going to do? Change everything? Not tackle anymore? I mean, I don't know, dude. I mean, what else can you do? There's not... I'm just being really honest. I keep hearing that. I just don't know what you can do.
It's a fair question to ask because it hurts the look of the NFL, especially on a national game like that where everybody's... the three worst ones, that, Tua, and DeMar, all have been on national TV. It's not a good look for the NFL.
I just don't know what else you can do, though. Because fans are already, and I know it's not all about the fans, about the players, but it is about the fans. You know, they're paying for it. They're already frustrated with how this game's being played. It's already softened up over the years. I'm not sure what else you can do.
I think there's also frustration in the handling of random injuries. One player is treated differently than another player on this team or that team, whatever. Like the Bills offensive guard or whatever, who looked like he had a concussion, had got hit in the head, and then he was just on the sidelines talking to the trainers, and he was back in. That's where the frustration comes in. When these players are, it's said that you care about their safety and their health, but you're not showing it. You're not being proactive in your spotters doing their jobs, and your trainers doing their jobs.
Well, and I go back to the Broncos situation when Russell Wilson had his concussion. I remember if you know, the question was asked, if that was not a quarterback, because Russ wasn't as bad as Tua. Still the giant knot there, and he looked out of it. But if that was an offensive lineman that went down like that, for some reason, went down like that.
Those guys are more susceptible to head
injuries.
Oh,
offensive linemen get concussions all the time. Like
the Bills center has like six this year.
They're constantly hitting heads. They're like Rams at the line of scrimmage. They're constantly doing it. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is you have to find a way to try to treat everybody fairly. So if there's a guy that's hurt on the field and it's a concussion, you have to treat him like a quarterback. And I guess it starts with the media, too. We don't talk about it. If it's an offensive lineman with a concussion, it's just, oh, and Garrett Bowles has a concussion, he's probably going to miss next week. If it's Russell Wilson, it's, oh, Russell Wilson has a concussion, what do you do here? You can't play him. You can't do that. I get it. There is a difference of how good and bad of how we treat quarterbacks. 23 minutes after the hour, Tom Brady's future in the league. We'll talk about that coming up. And how far can Dallas go? Eastside Chris. Brady, I forgot to send accolades to Coach Bruce Dick for 700 wins. Nice segment about him on 9 News Sports this weekend. Yeah, everybody's covering this guy. We are lucky to have him here doing a show, Clark and the Coach, every single day here. And we appreciate Coach so much. He's a great man. Obviously a wonderful coach. But we get to hang out with him, Christmas parties, and go golfing. He tried to teach me how to golf, which if he can't get it right, then I'm doomed, right? I can't golf. But he's an even better guy than that record shows, which is pretty damn phenomenal. 24 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Supposed to get kind of crazy with the weather. Cody Wilson, the Denver and Front Range weather, hitting us up with some crazy updates. So be careful on your road home tonight. Working on our plans for everything tomorrow, but our good morning guy, Brian Gary, should be ready to rock and roll. Angel, you should be ready to rock and roll. You're all well-versed on the mobile equipment now, so you could do this show from China tomorrow if you wanted to.
You're going to find out.
You're going to find out pretty soon. But do keep it on our website, 1310kfk.com. We're going to have updates for you as we get them and from other outlets as well. But we'll give you kind of a central hub for Northern Colorado news that's just going to pertain to our listeners in the Northern Colorado area. 29 minutes after the hour, Zach Stevens is coming up next. Is it going to be Sean Payton as the next head coach for the Denver Broncos? Is that what you want? My poll question today, are you happy that Jim Harbaugh is out of the mix? He's now back with Michigan. He's going to get his whatever, $10 million, $9 million a year with Michigan. Are you happy about that? 66% say no, I'm not happy about it. Now, you wanted to see Jim Harbaugh as the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 30 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
By the way, it's Top Text Tuesday, presented by Cables Pub and Grill. Best text of the day gets a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. So bring the heat today. Your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh staying in Michigan, who you want your next head coach to be for the Denver Broncos, Tom Brady getting knocked out of the playoffs last night by the Cowboys, all that. We'll get into it. Joining us now, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, yesterday was interesting. I was talking about it before, but right when we went off the air, and then shortly after that, Harbaugh, you know, we got the decision, of course, following you, that Harbaugh is staying in Michigan. And you know what's weird is yesterday I kind of had a weird feeling about Jim Harbaugh being the next head coach. Suddenly I didn't like the idea of it as much. So I guess I'm kind of happy with this news.
Well, Brady, I need to know what your next feeling is then, because we need to know what news is coming next.
All right, here's where I am with this. How can you shy away from Dan Quinn? Look what that defense did yesterday. Or is he just going to stay put? I mean, I'm kind of leaning in on the Dan Quinn thing, Zach, but I don't know. I mean, I know Sean Payton's the hot candidate, but it's not a feeling. It's just a want, and I don't know if that counts.
You know, Brady, Dan Quinn certainly is heating up, especially with the news of Jim Harbaugh dropping out of the race. Dan Quinn has always been a candidate for the last 13 months for the Broncos. He's always been there with his connection to George Payton. And then also now the connection to Russell Wilson. He's worked with him in the past. And Dan Quinn also fits what the Broncos ownership is looking for in terms of just a CEO type of leader for this team, not necessarily calling the defense. And I understand people and you getting excited from what he was able to do to Tom Brady in that playoff game last night, but that's not what you're bringing Dan Quinn in for. In fact, Dan Quinn probably wouldn't even call the defense if he came to Denver and was their head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he brought someone else in to call the defense, and he was really just that CEO type of leader. So if you get Dan Quinn, it's more so for the leadership than for what he did last night. And, oh, my gosh, I mean, Tom Brady looked so bad last night. Credit to Dan Quinn for some of that. But I just could not believe how many just wide-open receivers Tom Brady was falling 5-10 yards short of.
Well, he's 97 years old, and he threw 66 times, Zach. That's just why. I mean, they couldn't run. But, yeah, I was like, dude, his arm's going to fall off at some point, man. I mean, that was a really rough game, and we'll see what that means for Tom Brady. But, all right, so what's the Zach-o-meter telling us? Is it Sean Payton leading in the clubhouse, clearing away the favorite for this team?
It is. He's leading, but I think your want or your senses are certainly picking something up with Dan Quinn. He is certainly building momentum. And someone else that I'd put in that conversation as well is David Shaw. He is a legitimate candidate to get this job with the Broncos. So right now, I still think there's a tier one, and with Jim Harbaugh out of the race, that tier one is just Sean Payton right now. But top of tier two, and definitely in the conversation, is Dan Quinn and is David Shaw as well. The Broncos, of course, are interviewing Sean Payton today in person out in Los Angeles. Then they'll turn around and later today interview Raheem Morris, the Rams defensive coordinator as well, who could be a sneaky candidate because he does have experience as a head coach. But I really think the top three are those three guys we talked about.
Okay, I want to ask you about David Shaw, but before I do that, take me through what you think the process is like. You are flying out to see Sean Payton. This group's going to go interview him. Is that them selling Sean Payton on the Broncos, or is that them interviewing? Like any boss would interview a future employee, would be, you got to sell us too. I mean, what is that like? It's such a unique thing, especially in sports, but especially the situation with Sean Payton.
Yeah, it's a great question, Brady, and a really interesting point and dynamic that's going on, especially because the Broncos could potentially offer their next head coach, specifically if it's Sean Payton, $20 million a year. So you would think that if you're offering someone $20 million a year, that's going to be fully guaranteed that you're interviewing them. But Sean Payton is just such a high-profile candidate in really a market this year where there's not many high-profile candidates that just takes it so he is able to be the one to interview the Broncos. And it really does seem like Sean Payton is not going to have an issue going back to Fox for one more year. He doesn't like these jobs. So it's not just the Broncos trying to sell themselves over the Texans, the Cardinals, the Panthers. Those are the four teams that have received permission in order to talk with Sean Payton. But it's the Broncos saying, no, we're better than the Chargers job that's going to open up next year potentially, or some of these other jobs that Sean Payton may have his eye on. So it's not a guarantee that Sean Payton takes a job this cycle. And I know Sean Payton has publicly tried to put that message out, but from what I've heard in the back, that's actually true as well.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking, especially as these jobs don't really open up. The Houston one's interesting to me because could it be Sean Payton and Bryce Young in Houston? And if you're Sean Payton, you can have this ultimate, like, I got my quarterback from day one. I get to mold him and sculpt him into whatever I want him to be. But at the end of the day, it's still Houston. So, I mean, there's a long way to go for the Texans. Zach, with David Shaw, I've always really liked him. You know, he's been with what, Stanford? How long was he there? 16 seasons?
Yeah, exactly. And I believe 12 as the head coach.
So 12 as the head coach. And again, several great years for him as the head coach. But then the last few years haven't been so great. I suppose that is my big negative against him is, all right, you kind of faded at the end. Is that just too much time to be in one spot? You were in the NFL as an assistant in various jobs and stuff. But is there a hesitation there, you think, with like, okay, why didn't you want to make that jump sooner? Is it because you think you couldn't or what? And then why did things fade over the last few years? And again, college compared to the NFL, I get it, way different. But what are the fears there, or the concerns you have if David Shaw is the next head coach?
So when talking about David Shaw, and I think you brought up some excellent points, Brady, but when talking about David Shaw, regardless of how you feel about his time at Stanford, you have to view it through the lens of the Denver Broncos, specifically Greg Penner, who got his MBA from Stanford, and Condoleezza Rice, who has been extremely close with not just Stanford because she works there, but the Stanford football program. She helped Jim Harbaugh recruit players back in the day, so she is very familiar with David Shaw, and they both respect him a ton. So keep that in mind, and you kind of have to have that perspective when viewing David Shaw, the candidate. So the NFL has been interested in David Shaw for many years. Now, that's cooled off the past couple of years when he hasn't had a lot of success at Stanford. So you take that frame of mind of the NFL has been interested in David Shaw, and then put the Broncos glasses, the ownership glasses on it, and you see David Shaw as a very appealing candidate. And so I totally understand why he wouldn't be the hot candidate, the exciting candidate for Broncos fans, because he's coming from a program that has, what, three of four losing seasons. The only season that he had a winning season in the past 4 years was the COVID year when it was a very reduced season. So the excitement isn't there. But with David Shaw, you are getting not just a respected coach, but you're getting a respected person and human being that would come in and be that CEO type leader. And I keep talking about those CEO leadership type of people. And that's what the Broncos, I think, are eventually going to hire. And that's why, Brady, you're not seeing the Broncos talk to any coach that is an offensive mind that has not had head coaching experience in the past. That's what Nathaniel Hackett was. That's the sexy, that's the fun type of coach to go after. The Broncos aren't doing that because they are looking more so at a leader than an X's and O's guy. And it really makes sense when you look at this coaching search, because you look at Greg Penner. He's the one that's going to make the ultimate decision. How well does Greg Penner know X's and O's of football? I'm not trying to put him down. He's only been in the NFL for, 6 months now? So he's not looking for someone to come and blow him away in an interview with the X's and O's. He's coming for someone to blow him away with their leadership. And David Shaw would absolutely be that. And now a reason that you could convince yourself that David Shaw hasn't taken NFL jobs in the past is the head football coach of Stanford, especially for someone that went to Stanford and played football at Stanford like David Shaw, that's a dream job. And I believe he was getting $10 million a year. So you get to live at Stanford, work at your alma mater, where you're doing something more than just coaching football. You're coaching kids that are going to go do something beyond football. That's a dream job to some. And I believe that that's how David Shaw framed it.
I think the CEO thing is interesting because I think a lot of college coaches in many ways are the CEO. You know, they're recruiting, they're handling re-recruiting now with the transfer portal. They're navigating through NIL. They're out networking, doing stuff to grow their program, which is kind of what a CEO does. So that's a great point by you. That actually makes David Shaw a little more appealing. The fact that you say, hey, they're really leaning in, not on an offensive mastermind or a defensive guru necessarily, but more of a guy that can be a full-on leader. I don't need to hire a coach to help me with this or this or this. I can be the CEO. And that's where I think you're right. David Shaw makes a lot of sense there because, those college coaches do that. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. The other one, Zach, I wanted to ask you about was Jim Caldwell. Is that a realistic possibility at all? And I don't know if Broncos country is very excited because he hasn't been a head coach in a while, but he did get some playoffs out of the Detroit Lions, which is kind of unheard of for the most part.
Yeah, it's really unheard of what he's done. He obviously was with the Colts for a decade almost as Peyton Manning's quarterback coach, and there's no one closer to a quarterback than their quarterback's coach. So he is extremely close with Peyton Manning. Then when he took over that head coaching job, they went 14-2 his first season. Now, sure, I'm sure it really helped that he had Peyton Manning. He did a good job there until he lost Peyton. When Peyton was hurt, that's the season they went 2-14, and they fired Jim Caldwell after. Can't really blame him for that. And then he goes to Detroit, and that's where his most impressive work was, with what he was able to do, like you said, with the Detroit Lions, who, outside of Dan Campbell and Jim Caldwell, have not had any success over the past two decades. And Jim was able to get, three winning seasons out of them, which is really impressive, a playoff appearance. So Jim Caldwell is a guy that I think he's kind of that bottom of tier two, but still in the conversation because he has so much coaching experience. And Brady, for me, this is different than David Shaw. I personally am concerned and a little hesitant that he hasn't been in the NFL. He's been out of the NFL four of the last five seasons, I believe, with one of those years coming, being an assistant with the Miami Dolphins. That does concern me, especially for an older head coach. The game has changed. Not really the game, but the way you manage players has changed significantly over the last 5 years, not just in college, but in the NFL as well. So that does concern me a bit.
Zach, I know we got to let you roll here in a minute, but you know what we got to do? We haven't done this in a while. We got to get to it. Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Zach Stevens, who is going to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Dan Quinn.
Yes!
I'm feeling Quinn. I think there's going to be more. You mentioned Houston with Sean Payton. Don't discount Houston with that. I know people like to laugh at Houston,
yes,
but I wouldn't count him out.
Zach and I, this is why you and I are best friends. This is why. Okay, I'm going to go through a list of some players here. You tell me if they're going to be back next year for the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
Kareem Jackson.
No.
Latavius Murray.
Yes.
Draymond Jones.
No, too expensive.
Ooh, Dalton Reisner.
No, but I could definitely see a chance where he's back.
Brett Rippon is the backup.
Oh, no.
Garrett Bowles?
Yes, he's back just a little. This might be his last year, though.
Who am I missing? Jonas Griffith. Will he be back?
Oh, man, that's a great one. I'm going to say no. They found their combo with Josie Jewell and Alex Singleton. They're going to pay Alex Singleton to stay around. Now, the benefit of that inside linebacker position is they're not going to have to pay him a ton, but you give him $4 or $5 million and you're set there.
Russell Wilson's going to be back next year, right?
Oh, he's going to be back. Absolutely. Especially with Dan Quinn as the head coach.
Well done by you. Hey, and you mentioned Greg Penner might not know a lot about the X's and O's of football, but ask him anything like on a sale on cabbage. He's your guy, dude. Walmart sales specials, product placement. He's the guy. Zach, my man, always appreciate you. It sounds like you and I are kind of on the same page, and I really like that. And I really appreciate all DNVR Broncos does, and I love that logo too, man. I just love it. Yeah. Everybody loves that logo.
I love it, baby. I love it. You're the man.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. That logo is great, and apparently everybody loves it. Zach, my man, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Brady, thanks for having me on. Love being on.
All right, man. Everybody loves that logo, Angel. I mean, everybody.
It's hard to imitate that logo.
Yeah, but some have tried and are trying, apparently.
Yikes.
Does anybody know what we're talking about? Do you think that our hooligans have followed this on Twitter?
This is a perfect story for some Top Text Tuesday.
Oh,
winners.
You guys, do you know about Dixon? Do you know about this? I'm just going to say DNVR Bronco or DNVR has a logo. There's another outlet in the area, kind of, that also has a logo, a new logo. You can tell me what's going on. You might just win Top Text Tuesday. Who knows? Dixon, I'll read your text on the other side. Bring the text in. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Are you happy that Jim Harbaugh is gone? Also, secondary question today, or is out, I should say. Secondary question. Should the NFL playoffs just go to the top seven records? The hell with conference championships. Top seven records. Just something to think about. Maybe that'll be a poll question we'll really delve into tomorrow. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You know where we're live from, the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Shoot us a text on the top text, on the text line. First Advantage text line. But it's Top Text Tuesday, presented by Cables Pub and Grill. Dixon chiming in, kind of nitpicky here, but how do you feel about some playoff teams getting more rest and preparation in the playoffs? While it was cool as a fan to watch a game last night, it kind of puts Dallas at a little bit of a disadvantage with two less days of rest and preparation than San Francisco. I realize in the regular season things are different, but this is the playoffs, and 2 days more rest and prep is huge. It is an interesting... Like, as far as creating everything equally competitively, that's a good point. Because they do have less days to prepare. The winner has less days to prepare. Cowboys and San Fran will play on Sunday. So, did San Fran play on Saturday?
Yes. They were the first game on Saturday.
So they had, two extra days. Sunday and Monday, two extra days. You get two
and
extra days.
They don't
days.
Have to travel. Dallas has to go back to Dallas, stay there for a couple of days, and then fly out to San Francisco.
I don't think it's nitpicky, to be real honest.
That's very fair, and I don't think putting it in a primetime spot does anything either. Because it's, they're waiting all day to play. I'm like, well, that's still a whole day. They're not doing anything else.
True. How would you even begin to organize that, though? Because you can't.
Stop doing it on Monday.
Well, aside from that, because now the NFL's like, no, we get money. Aside from that, how would you do it? Because it's all about seeding. So you couldn't just say, well, just make sure the team that's going to play the winner of Monday night's game plays on Sunday. So it's only one day. But you can't really do that because of seeding, right?
Well, then you get rid of the seeding.
Oh, you get
no
rid of the...
No more bye weeks.
So what would you say about just the best records get in? Now, the NBA does best records, but it's also winning your You also, if you odds are you win the best records are going to win their division, but the top four record, the top four division winners get in, and then it's the best records after that. Do you want to do away with divisions?
I would love an 8-team or 16-team, 8 from each conference. No divisions.
No holds
best
barred.
8 teams in the NFC and the AFC in a tournament. No buys. Huh. You just play.
Half the league gets in then. I mean, that's what the NBA does, and they're adding more with the play-in tournament.
Everyone's doing it.
I like the divisions. I do. I know, like, it does suck that
you could still have a division title, but it doesn't guarantee you a home playoff game.
Yeah.
But odds are, if you're winning your division, you're going to have a fairly good record, unless you're Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because if you're just looking at the records, obviously Tampa Bay is out. And it would have been the Lions, right? The Lions had the winning record. They were 9-8. Tampa Bay was 8-9. So Detroit would have got it. It would have been Detroit. If you just going based off of that loosely. Let's talk about that. Because I do kind of like the whole AFC West thing. Like, oh, it's our rivals. And is the rival mean as much if a trip to the playoffs, winning your division doesn't mean an instant trip to the playoffs? Do those games mean as much now? You're still, I mean, obviously, to have a best record and to have a top record, you got to do well within your division. You're playing them 6 times. But let's talk about it. Let's get to it. On the other side, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Top Text Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.